Meeting logistics. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order M-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza@workforcehs.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with disability. Please see the accommodations notice. Reminder, as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Monday, September 21st, to order. And roll call. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck?
Here.
Frank LaCosta?
Here.
And we are all present and accounted for. I do have a quorum. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. LaCosta, will you please lead us? And everyone else, please place your phones on mute.
Please place your right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Acosta. Staff introductions. At this time, staff members will be invited to state their names and titles. We'll start with corporate officers.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Thank you, Ms. Vincent. And school staff.
Julie Barra, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Julie.
This is Mark Noble, President, Charter Relations.
Hi, Jeff. Anyone else? Moving on to school legal counsel.
Yes, Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
And Bill. Greg Bordeaux, legal counsel.
Hi, Mr. Bordeaux. And advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez,
counselor
with
LLAC. Hi, Michelle. And I am still hearing a little bit of feedback. Please ensure your phones are on mute if you're not talking. And other staff who wish to introduce themselves. Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. May I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the September 21st, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Frank LaCosta, I make a motion to approve action item 1E.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
And Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item F, may your motion to approve the minutes of the August 24, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Frank LaCosta, I make a motion to approve action item 1F.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
And Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Moving on to item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We do have 2 items on the consent agenda. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve revisions to the 2020-2021 Parent-Student Handbook, adding a new section on academic integrity and plagiarism. And item number 2, the board will be asked to approve the updated special education master plan. Is there any board member who would like a consent agenda item removed for separate discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Thank you, Costa. I make a motion to approve action items 2A, 1, and 2.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
And Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Moving on to item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make public comment? Hearing none. Vanessa, do we have any written comments?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments were received via the email provided on the agenda.
Thank you. And we'll move on to item 4A, Area Superintendent Update, Julie Parra.
Good afternoon, board members. Currently, we have 240 students enrolled virtually, with 4 students preparing to enroll this week. We have multiple source classes taking place right now, which focus on social-emotional learning, specifically for students impacted by trauma. This class is being offered in small virtual pods 2 days a week. Some students are also completing this course with their teachers individually. Our school counselors are working to prepare our senior cohort to begin the post-secondary process, FAFSA, college applications, et cetera, through the use of Google Classroom. And this past month, we were able to hold our ELAC meeting in which we were given valuable feedback regarding our current virtual learning plan. And we're able to implement some minor changes based on the feedback. Currently, we have 27 students in WIOA, so 23 from the Santa Ana Work Center, 3 from the OC Youth Center, and 1 is Access, Inc. And the OC Youth Center is still able to provide real services, including orientation, enrollment, virtual during COVID-19. And I want to thank you guys for participating in the Brown Board training this last week. Also, we're considering reopening in a phased plan for students that are in most need of instruction beginning LP5, and then that's October 20th, and all staff will be present on site Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to action items, item 5. Item 5A, the board will be asked to approve the learning continuity plan for the 2020-2021 school year. That's Julie Farrow.
Yes, and if you could refer to your page 21 in your board packet, all schools must adopt the learning continuity plan by September 30th, and once approved by the school's governing board, a copy of the plan will be posted to the school's website and submitted to the school's authorizer and county office of education. A copy of the school's draft learning continuity plan was posted to our website 72 hours prior to the public hearing held during the August regular board meeting, and the website has since been updated to reflect the final learning continuity plan being presented to the board for review and approval. Additional timeline of a public hearing and vote was intended to allow for communication of decisions that will guide how instruction will occur during 2020-2021 school year. This includes in-person instruction according to health guidance and distance learning while providing critical opportunities for stakeholder engagement. Our PAC and ELAC meetings were held on August 18th, and SAVERS were sent out to all state stakeholders. The student feedback, a lot of the students, you know, are having emotional problems and time management skills, and they'd like to have more face-to-face time with their teachers. Our English learners and special education students would like to return to school because their remote instruction is extremely difficult. The parents express their appreciation for the hard work, communication, and support that the school has provided thus far. Many have requested more instructional time for students with their teachers, whether it be virtual or on-site. Parents said that the more time the teacher or tutor would help keep students stay motivated and focused on completing their schoolwork. Some of the staff feedback were as follows. Teachers noted that keeping students engaged virtually during distance learning has been the main challenge. Many also mentioned the need for technological support for students and their parents. Many claim that much of the instructional time is being taken away by trying to figure out technology or helping students and parents navigate. Additionally, staff said that the major challenges with working remotely is finding the balance between home and work responsibilities. And a response based on that feedback is student subgroups, especially students with IEPs, English learners, foster youth, and students needing intervention will receive limited onset support as requested by students, their parents, counselors, or supervising teachers. Critical assessments needed by students with IEPs and English learners will also be provided on-site if remote testing is unavailable or too cumbersome for the student. These on-site supports will be provided for a short period while strictly following state public health protocol and county guidelines. Additionally, weekly virtual teacher check-ins will also be in place to encourage student accountability, student engagement, and more one-on-one instructional time. Orange County Workforce Innovation will provide extended work weekly operational hours. With regards to managing schedules and supporting students emotionally, Orange County Workforce Innovation has provided students with digital student planners and counseling sessions and have been scheduled with counselors from teacher referrals or student requests. Teachers and staff lacking quiet space to work from home will provide the ability to work on-site following a rotational schedule to ensure strict adherence to public health and safety guidelines. In response for training for enhanced technology literacy, professional development such as basic computer use and navigation, Google Classroom, CAMI, virtual tutoring offerings and sign-up, and accessing electronic books will continue to be created and offered not only to the school staff, but also to students and their parents. Parents' workshops will be facilitated on a monthly basis to support any additional concerns. At this time, I'd like to ask the board to adopt our learning continuity plan.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5A.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 5A.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve the amended bylaws for Western Educational Corporation, and that's Julie Parra again.
The amended and restated bylaws changes include the removal of the sole statutory member and updates for legal requirements for charter schools. At this time, I'd like to introduce Greg Bordeaux to review and discuss the changes with the board.
Good evening, or I suppose it's still afternoon, board members. As you may recall, from time to time, we have come before you with a proposal to update the bylaws of the organization. As you may also recall, the bylaws are essentially the basic rules of the road, which govern the governance structure and basic governance operations of the organization. There are essentially two categories of revisions that are being proposed now to the bylaws here. One of them deals with the sole member of the organization, EAC, and the other deals with updates to conform to more recent legislation. With respect to the sole member, as you may recall, EAC has historically been the sole member of this corporation, along with many of the others in the Learn for Life network. But over time, the role of sole members has become more circumscribed, and authorizers have come to prefer more simplified roles for those participating in the governance of these organizations. So whereas previously, when EAC was the sole member, it had the power to appoint and remove board members or to make changes to the bylaws, those powers now, essentially at the request of our authorizer, by removing EAC, will be vested with you as the board, and you will be what is called a self-perpetuating board, meaning that should one of you resign or should a position for other reasons become vacant, then you will, as the board, vote on a replacement for that board member, as opposed to in the past, the board member replacement having been chosen by EAC. As I say, this is primarily a result of the authorizer's request for simplification of government structures. And that's related a little bit to some of the recent legislation that we've seen that drives some of the other revisions to the bylaws that are being proposed today. And those deal with expressly setting out in the bylaws of the organization that we will abide by legislation that has existed for some time and that, quite frankly, we have largely already been following. But as part of the effort to regulate charter schools as heavily as possible, which has been the trend, I suppose you could say, of our state legislature, it has been now required more often than not that the bylaws specifically state that we will comply with the Political Reform Act, with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 1090, all of which have to deal with, and the Brown Act, which, as you know, deals with open meetings. All of these deal with transparency, with avoiding conflicts of interest, and similar things. And as I said before, these are all things that we were already doing. So what you saw as changes to the bylaws making specific references to these pieces of legislation is really to ensure that our authorizers know, as a matter of an express statement, that the organization will, in fact, continue to be abiding by these legal code sections. Can I answer any questions for anyone about the proposed bylaws? And I'll just note for the minutes that I think the revisions were provided to the board members to review directly as well.
Is there any questions or comments from the board?
Hey, Greg, this is Frank Lucasa. I'm sorry. Greg, just one quick question. As it relates to Article 7 of the committee, is there any change to the audit committee language that's referenced in 7.2? Is that the same as it's been before as far as audit goes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I had one quick question. If a vacancy does occur on the board, would we be given a list of candidates or a candidate for voting on?
Either one or both. So in those situations, potential board members are generated from a variety of sources, including suggestions from community partners that we deal with or others out in the community. It's always our desire to want to make sure that the board reflects the community in which we operate. And so, yes, from various sources, you will be likely to receive recommendations or nominations, which you'll be able to evaluate and then make a decision about.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board at this time? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5B.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 5B.
Thank you.
Put it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item C. The board will be asked to approve the conflict of interest policy for Western Educational Corporation. Julie Barra?
Yes, this item revises the corporation's conflict of interest policy to ensure it meets the current requirements applicable to charter schools. And at this time, I'd like to reintroduce Greg Bordeaux to review and discuss the changes with the board.
Okay, thank you, Julie. This is another instance in which, over time, we always go back to make sure that our corporate documents are as up to date as possible, that they conform to current legislation, and that they also conform to good general practice. So those of us who practice law in this particular area. We're always monitoring the different types of policies that other organizations adopt or are required to adopt, all in an effort to make sure that our policies are on the cutting edge and are always comprehensive. And so this conflict of interest policy has been updated to ensure that its language is consistent with current requirements. But at the end of the day, in substance, it really is not adding anything that was not already a part of the conflict of interest policies that govern what we all do as board members or staff or officers of the organization. And the gravamen of this, or I suppose the moral of all of this, is that if you are ever in a circumstance where you feel as though you may be in a position where there could be a conflict of interest, disclose, because there are many ways to deal with a situation in which there are questions or concerns that through inadvertence or simply because of unknown factors that arise over time, a potential conflict of interest can arise. And as soon as it's disclosed, it's very easy to deal with, and we avoid any problems. So it's important that you all take an opportunity, if you haven't already, to review the conflict of interest policy. If you have any questions about the policy, then you can reach out to any one of us, officers of the corporation or legal counsel, to answer those questions. And again, if anything ever arises where you scratch your head and think, I wonder if this is an issue under that policy, reach out on the double, and we'll always give you the right advice to make sure that both you and the organization are fully protected. Can I answer any questions about the policy?
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5C.
Frank DeCosta, I make a motion to approve action item 5C.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Bacosta?
Aye.
Matt passes with a yes vote. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the charter material revision petition and approve the resolution approving submission of the charter material revision petition. And that's Julie?
Yes. Would you be willing to review the material revision petition located in your board package? Our charter school authorized the Orange County Department of Education has required the school to prepare and submit a material revision of the charter due to the changes of the school's governance structure of the removal of the sole statutory member as noted in your board agenda 5B. The OCDE material revision guidelines requires the charter to provide a copy of the updated laws, update the governance section of the pages, and review your board package on page 62 and update the charter with any legal requirements. In addition, the charter must also include a multi-year budget, narrative, and cash, and you can refer to page 187 of your board package. At this time, I'd like to ask if there's any questions.
Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5D?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 5D.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item E, the board will be asked to approve a charter renewal petition, including the budget, and approve the resolution approving submission of the charter renewal petition. Julie?
Yes, thank you. This is an exciting time. We're going to be up for renewal in June 2021, and you can refer to your board packet, page 208. We've developed a revised petition with the intent of submitting for approval on October 7th this year. And as a reminder, the California Education Code requires each charter petition to contain reasonably comprehensive description of each of the 15 required elements, and the 15 elements were as follows. A description of the educational program of the school, including a description of how the charter school will inform parents about the transferability of courses to other public schools, and the eligibility of courses to meet college entrance requirements must be included in the charter petition. 2, the measured pupil outcomes identified for use by the school. degree, the method by which people's progress in meeting those people outcomes is to be measured. 4, the school's governance structure, including parental involvement. 5, the qualifications to be met by individuals employed by the school. 6, procedures to ensure healthy and safety of pupils and staff. 7, the means by which the school will achieve balance of racial and ethnic pupils, special education pupils, and English learner pupils that is reflective of the general population residing in the district. 8, admissions, policies, and procedures. 9, the manner in which annual financial audits will be conducted and the manner in which audit exceptions and deficiencies will be resolved. 10, the procedures by which pupils may be suspended or expelled. 11, provisions for employee coverage under the state retirement system, the public employee retirement system, or federal social securities. 12, the public school alternatives for pupils residing within the district who choose not to attend another charter school. 13, a description of the rights of any employee of the school district upon leaving the employment of the school district to work in charter schools, or any of the rights of return to school district after employment at a charter school. 14, a dispute resolution process. 15, the procedures to be used if the charter school closes. Some of the updates and or additions to the current petition include, since we're a DAS school, recent changes in state law require us to work with collaboration with our authorizer, Orange County Department of Education, to develop updated alternative metrics for the required charter renewal. We've agreed including CAS performance, LPAC performance, NWA MAP testing, READ 180, graduation rate, and success rate. Note the success rate and the number of students are graduate or retained or who rematriculate to their former school, and that's 92%. You'll find updated resumes to reflect current school leaders. Updated lists of partners, including multiple WIOA partners. We've included a description of our trauma-resilient education communities TREC model. We've updated the list of community members who support Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. We have 18 letters of support so far, which include mayors of Placentia and Anaheim and Senator Ling Ling Chang. We've added student profiles to describe the process and benefit of innovation high school educational model. We've updated the plan for English learners to align with current and EL program and legal requirements. We've updated the plan for students with disabilities to align with the current EL program and legal requirements. We've updated the governance structure to include SB 126 updates and updated parent and community participation, as well as the roles of responsibility of the board, including the board's role in designating and appointing new board members. Of course, this is not all the changes. I just wanted to provide you a highlight of some of the most significant changes. We've also included performance on the alternative metrics mentioned above and here, and here are the highlights. Performance on the CAS and ELA increased from the year prior and across most subgroups. The only subgroup that did not increase in ELA was English learners, because Orange County Workforce Innovation High School recognizes the need to provide further support to its students in English language arts, literacy, and mathematics. Based on CAS results, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is committed to providing its teachers with ongoing professional development opportunities specific to literacy and math instruction and intervention. It will also implement Math 180 and illuminate as additional metrics in monitoring student academic growth. The specific courses to be monitored by Illuminate will be the core courses of ELA 9, 10, and 11, and Algebra 1. The California Dashboard's Baseline English Learner Progress Indicator, ELPI, indicated that only 42.9% of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School EL students are making progress towards English language proficiency. We recognize that it's a need to devote more time to our EL program in order to raise the ELPI. Therefore, we're working with our EL teachers on providing further support and intervention to EL students. The one-year graduation cohort data for 2019 indicates that Orange County Workforce Innovation High School significant subgroup are graduating at 83% graduation rate or higher, with Orange County Workforce Innovation High School students with disability subgroup posting at 100% graduation rate. Therefore, based on the metrics above, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School has met the criteria for renewal and 6 5-year renewal term. On page 430 of your board packet, there's a 3-year budget projections, and which is providing showing a conservative increase in enrollment, which is based on 226 for 2021-22, 230 for the year after that, and then for the last 23-24, it's 234. In the ADA is 305, and it steadily increases to 315. And as a result, we'd have 19% reserve. And Gita Sharifi is available, and myself, if you have any questions regarding the budget. At this time, I would like to recommend the board approve the resolution approving submission to the Orange County Workforce Innovation Renewal Petition.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board at this time?
This is Claudette. I would just like to say, I just want to thank you for the hard work that you put into this for this renewal petition, because I know there's a lot of hard work that goes into that, and you guys are always doing such a great job with all of this, and I really appreciate the work that's been put into this.
Thank you. We've received a lot of support from Jeff Martineau, Deanna, and it's a great time, and it's in collaboration with our authorizer. It's been I'm excited for the next 5 years. Hopefully we can get it approved.
I'm sure you will.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve Act Item 5E.
Thank you, Casa. I make a motion to approve Action Item 5E.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Mike Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item F. The board will be asked to approve the revised unaudited actual for the 2019-2020 school year. Julie Barra?
Yes, thank you. If you can take a look at the unaudited actuals in your board package on page 447, which is related to in-lieu property taxes. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Gita Sharifi to review the revisions with the board.
Hello, everyone. So this is Gita with LNAC. And if you look at page 447, there are some minor just revisions on the unaudited actuals. There were a reclassification to the school revenue that was recorded in the unaudited actuals. In the previous version of the report, there was a small adjustment that reduced LCFS revenue by $24,192. After reviewing the revenue with the county, it was advised that the school reclassifies it to accounts receivable. Consequently, the revenue A5 and excess revenue number C on the report, ending fund balance F2, and the assets of the school G9 increased by the same amount of $24,192. So that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve Action Item 5F.
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve Action Item 5F.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Adams. Yes, I have a few comments. I would really like to thank Superintendent Parrott, her staff, and the folks from LLAC that reach out and work so hard to put these programs together. And the proof is that we'll get these renewals because these folks are doing more than is required to make that happen. Going to the LCP, when you really listen to that report, it's kind of discouraging that our students are not getting the help they really need, and that be their time with their teachers, the time with, that the parents can have to put our students in the proper place for themselves. I find that really, really very difficult to accept. And I've been thinking about, we're constantly thinking about the problem our students and our parents have, but what about our teachers who really want to reach out to these students, and they're being blocked by this system? I certainly hope that we can overcome these problems and move on. And lastly, Greg Bardot, I would like to thank him so much for the clear and concise reports he gives us that makes us feel comfortable in the league.
Thank you. And for all of your hard work during this time, Julie, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from board members?
Yeah, Michael, this is Frank. I just want to just make one quick comment. You know, this has been a tough year. That's an understatement probably. But, you know, when you look at the charter renewal petition that Julie put together with her staff, and you look at these graduation numbers, it's just really just a great testament to the hard work that Julie and the staff are doing. And it's just being that this is such a tough year, you know, all the continued efforts by everyone on the staff is much appreciated and certainly something that, that we're all grateful for.
Thank you. Claudette, do you have anything?
No, I've reiterated the same thing, what I had said before and then what Frank said and Jeff also. I mean, it's amazing when you, you know, you look at all the work that has to go into this. You know, you're just so grateful that you have the people that we have working on these things that provide all this for our students because it's such a worry, you know. And I know the teachers, the parents, everybody's worried. And, boy, I think we're doing the best we can, and we're always seeking to do better.
Thank you. And I will also ditto Frank and Mr. Brown. Julie, your folks and you have done a great job. This is a very impressive document, and it does show that we continue to advance. So thank you and all your staff who participated in this.
We appreciate all your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, all your motions to adjourn.
Thank you, Costa. I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Bye, Jack. I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.